of broken strings, to the summoning chords again. Oh yes, it's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Starry sky, I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Oh yes, it's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be back in the house of God again, isn't it? I love the Lord today, and I thank Him for another opportunity, amen, to bring forth the Word of Life. Amen. That's what it's all about. Everybody pray with me that God will bless me today and help me to give you what you need and hope that you get something out of it.
Praise
Heavenly
Lord.
Father, we praise you, Lord.
Praise
we glorify
the Lord.
Praise thy sweet name, Jesus. Almighty God, hallowed be thy name. Lord, I pray that you would anoint the lips of clay here today. Lord, in the things I say, Lord, let it be of you, Lord. Hallelujah, let all things, Lord, be said in Jesus' name, and all things according to thy word and thy perfect will today. Hallelujah, let it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord today. And you know, for lack of knowledge, the Bible says the people perish. Amen. And there's some things in the Bible that if you think you know it all already, then you need to be up here and I need to be out there. Amen. There's a lot of things in the Bible that, amen, that we need to count very important. We need to count all the scripture important. Amen. But we've got to get off on the right leg. And in teaching of the Beatitudes, better said, some people calls it, beautiful attitudes. And the Beatitudes are not in the Bible per se in its word, but it means blessed. Now the things that God calls blessed, the flesh don't like at all. Nobody likes, when you hear the word poor, the first thing you think about is poverty, misery, and things of that sort. Amen. But God has a new definition. The poor stays the same, but what he's talking about is different than what the world sees it. And the things I've got to teach today, you're probably not going to make your flesh feel very good. Amen? Because Jesus, what did he say? He said, deny thyself and follow me. And we don't get into the Beatitudes too often, or we hear a lot about it, but just how many people are keeping the Sermon on the Mount? But the Beatitudes, the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, these are the characteristics that you've got to have in your life if you have any hope of following the rest of it. Now, Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, it's a new covenant law. Amen. You say, well, I thought we got away from the law. Well, now we belong to Christ. We are his. We're his slave. We're not free anymore. We belong to him. Amen. And all the things that he puts in his word has a meaning for it. And we are the slaves of Jesus Christ. And the Beatitudes are the first part of the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, and these characteristics are kind of hard to take. You're not going to get to these things, and first off, you've got to get started right. You've got to get into God before these Beatitudes, the meanings of these words, will have any meaning to you. Amen. They take on a different meaning when it comes to Christ, because he says, blessed are the poor. Blessed are those that mourn. Now, in my flesh, I don't call that a blessing. And meekness, that's not a real man. A real man is not meek. You find in the Word of God, it always goes against our flesh, doesn't it? We want to, people at different times today, they want to come to God, but somehow we got into this place where when we come to God, we said, because people had this thing that they began to teach, that God accepts you just as you are. And you know, that's true. When you come to Jesus Christ, you have nothing to offer him. He takes you as you are, but then he takes you to the potter's house. Amen? And begins to clean us up. Amen? But we have these things in the Beatitudes, and I'll read you something here. Each Beatitude characterizes exceedingly undesirable positions in the world, but God calls it blessed. The Sermon on the Mount is a new covenant law. A new law calls for an inner transformation that is reflective in an outward action of righteousness. Amen. You take on the Word of God, when it begins to get down into your heart, it comes in your mind and begins to get in your heart, and that's when you begin to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Amen. We have to have these things. Amen. Poor in spirit. Well, the opposite of poor in spirit is arrogant, self-confident, which dominates and rides over other people and treats God as irrelevant. Amen. God is relevant. And I tell you, when I seen I had to teach on the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, you know, you could stand up here. I could read to you word for word what I got here, and I could make my 30 minutes last. There's that much to it. There's just no way you're going to get by, amen, this thing here in 30 minutes. You can't do it. But I hope I can do one thing today, make you realize the importance of the Beatitudes, and also make you understand that God wants you to go on into perfection, leaving the foundation of repentance, going on into perfection. But the spirit of the world today, they have told God, now, this is not poor in spirit. They've come to God and say, you accept me the way I am. What you see is what you get. Amen. But this can't be. You know, the Bible teaches all the way through. We begin to overcome the flesh, and how do we do it? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And he says, let this mind that be in Christ be also in you. Now, you read the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, you'll find out that is the mind of Christ. And these are the things that we are to strive for. Now, what did Paul say? Paul said, I'm not yet attained. He said, I'm not yet perfect, but this is one thing I do. I press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen. When I come to God, I had a lot of changing to do. And it took me for a long, long time before I'd ever get up and teach or preach. I felt so unworthy. I felt like I couldn't say anything. I felt like all I needed was sit down, shut up, and be taught. And that's what I needed. Because when you come to God poor in spirit, as the first Beatitude says, amen, that's the way you've got to come to God. When it talks about the poor in spirit, you have to come by him, to him, realizing that you have nothing to offer him, and he has everything to offer you. Amen, you come in salvation. Amen, we find that salvation sometime is talked about in different ways. Amen, but God talks about it one way. Amen. The Beatitudes are not appealing to the flesh. Now, we have a very good example. The first book of the Bible, Cain had this spirit that he could offer God whatever he wanted to. He thought he was doing right. Amen. When he offered up these things to God, God wouldn't even receive them, and he was kind of upset about it. And God told him, said, why are you upset? He said, if you do good, will you not be accepted? I would say then he probably knew what God wanted, but he thought within his mind, well, you know what? I did all this with my hands. I did all of this by myself. Now, surely God's going to be proud of me. But you know, God wouldn't receive him. And God receives, when you come to God, it's like in the first thing that we read here. And I'm going to start with verse 1, getting down to blessed are the poor. And seeing the multitude that went up, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I don't know if you caught anything here, but did you know God called Moses up on the mountain, away from the multitude? He called them up and he gave them the law. Jesus Christ, it's ironic that he's doing the same thing here. He calls the disciples up on the mountain. Now, this is God. He didn't need God to tell him. He already had the mind of God. So he taught them. Amen. He taught them the new law of the covenant. He taught them these things. And I thought that was ironic that he mimicked God. Now, no man can give a law but God. Jesus Christ gave the new covenant law to the disciples. So he put himself in place of God, and that's the thing that the Pharisees didn't like, because they could not believe he was who he said he was. Amen. But he was God manifested in the flesh. Amen. We must believe it. I think the last time I was up here, we taught on something like that. You must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. And he rewards us. He said, blessed. Blessed are the poor. Amen. In spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm glad he finished it up with poor in spirit, because I don't think you see too many blessings in being poor. I know there's a curse of being rich sometime if you'll let the things you have pull you away from God. But what blessing is being poor except that you call upon God? I've got something here that I'll... Amen. But God is good today. Amen. Poor, I went ahead and looked it up in the Greek. It's called nachos, and I think the T is silent. I listened. I tried to put it on. You get this thing up on the phone that will tell you how to pronounce words. And they're so hard to pronounce that by the time you get to where you're going, you done forgot how you pronounce it. Anyway, which literally means to crouch or to cower or helplessness, signifies a beggar, pauper, one in object poverty, totally dependent upon others for help, destitute of even the necessities of life. Now, you can't do anything. You're poor, you're at the mercy. Nobody ever wants to be at the mercy of man, but you know there are people that are. And they have no choice but to go to man for everything that they need. And this is how we have to approach God. Poor in spirit. God offers us a gift of salvation, Ephesians 1 and 3. He'll take care of that spiritual part. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Amen. I need God's Spirit. I can't be saved without it. Amen. And in the spirit, it's usually talking about the mind. When it talks about this, in this case here, it's talking about the mind. What does the Bible tell us to do? Amen. To be renewed in our mind. Also, let this mind be in you that also was in Christ Jesus. But we have to let this be come into our mind. Amen. To be renewed in our mind. I have a scripture for it, and I'll get to it later, but we have to be that. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, the flesh, you know, quite understandably, they don't want that change. That change is hard. Amen. Renewing yourself from all the things that you've ever been. I wasn't brought up in church, and I envy the ones that were. I had a lot of demons I had to get rid of. I had a lot of things that had to happen before God could use me. Amen. But we have to, the Bible says it's a good thing to desire the ministry. And I think it is. And we have some coming here growing up in this thing. And it's good. They should stay with it, because God has a lot he's going to do with them. Amen. If we stay faithful to him, stay humble to his word, amen, and realize that God has to do the work in us. Amen. be renewed in our mind. Once you're renewed in your mind, amen, you become transformed, amen, into newness of life. We walk in a different way. Amen. Let this mind that be in Christ Jesus be also in you. There's a change that takes place, and that's the thing that the world doesn't like. And when I first read some of these things in the Bible, and when it said, except you exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, I was still looking through fleshly eyes. My mind hadn't been renewed yet. And I thought, well, if as good as they're doing, that's impossible for me then. Because they said the works that they were doing, I was looking at their works. Now, these works God wants us to have. He wants that manifest Jesus Christ through us. But when I looked at it and I heard those things, it just, something got up in me. I thought, how can I do this? But you know what? Except exceed. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees, what their doctrine was, they believed that they could get good enough within themselves, amen, to please God and to make heaven. Well, that just went completely away from God's plan. God's plan was in Jesus Christ. Amen. And he was going to take away the sin. No man was perfect, for every man born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Amen. We're born in sin. We're shaped in iniquity. We need a Savior, and you need to understand that you need a Savior, that you have no power within yourself to save yourself. Amen. But once we get to these things, once we understand these things, these characteristics begin to build up in our life. Now, poor in spirit, that means that you first have to come to Jesus Christ. You have to come with the right attitude, with the right spirit. Amen. Some people come to God, they're thinking they're the best thing that ever happened to God. Well, God is the best thing that ever happened to you. Amen. And that's where it's at. But I studied this lesson, and the multitudes here, and the parables here that we, not parables, but beatitudes. This is our mark, our high calling in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul said. I press toward the mark of the high prize of the high calling in God in Jesus Christ, forgetting those things which are behind. I had a hard time forgetting those things that were behind. I kept dragging them along with me. They was condemning me. They was making me feel like I wasn't saved, that I wasn't worthy, that I'm just putting on, because I still felt that flesh. Romans 7 and 21, when we try to do good, evil is present with me. I was trying to pull away from these things, but these things were ever present with me. Amen. When you get down to pray, your flesh don't leave you alone even then. It still puts things in your mind, make you feel like, I don't even deserve to pray to God. But we have a comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And he's the one that keeps us in mind that, hey, this is what Jesus Christ done for you. Amen. And these things that we must keep in our mind. Now, in the Old Testament, they hang something down between their eyes. It was something very important. I don't remember what it was at this time. But God wanted them to always remember, and it hung down between their eyes. And that's why we got to have the Word of God. We got to have it. David said like this, I hid the word of God in my heart, that I sin not against thee. Now, can we ever be perfect? Now, I think a lot of the Apostle Paul, but he said he has not yet attained. He has not yet got perfected. But this is one thing that he does do. Amen. He presses toward that mark of that high calling that is in Christ Jesus. And you'll find that high calling in the Sermon on the Mount. This is the law of the covenant, new covenant. Amen. And we have to have these characteristics in our life, because you'll never humble yourself without having a different attitude about life. Because I was taught when I was growing up that everything that a man would do, I had to try to strive for that. I had to try to be like the toughest man I've seen. That's what I wanted to be like. Never could, but that's the one I wanted to be like. I joined the Marines because I wanted to be like that. Still, I didn't get there. Amen. I tried to, when I got into God, I tried to live this perfect life, and I found out I couldn't do that unless I had Christ Jesus dwelling within. And that's the things that we have to have, Christ dwelling within. And he opened his mouth and taught them, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now we see a place that happened in Acts 2 and 37 and 38. What happened? When they were told what they did, that they had crucified God in the flesh, they have crucified the Christ, they were pricked in their heart. Amen. When that happened, they brought forth, amen, fruits worthy of repentance. Now that's what Jesus, or John the Baptist told the Pharisees, bring fruits worthy of repentance. And they thought that they had it all together. They thought they had everything. They thought they didn't need a Savior. They thought they could save themselves. And their works, there wasn't anything wrong with their works. Amen. But it was just that they wasn't in the place that God wanted them to be to understand your position between you and God. What do you have when God comes forth? What do you have to offer him? We have nothing. We come forth to him. Amen. Asking him to forgive us of our sins. I didn't ask to be a sinner. I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. I didn't ask for none of these things. And I had a brother-in-law that, shouldn't have said brother-in-law, my nieces might listen to this. But he was a good man. Since I went this far, I got to go the rest of the way. Anyway, that's the way technology is today. You're not the only ones going to hear it. Amen, but he was a good man. He was a good, hard-working man. Amen. He had quite a few flaws. But working wasn't one of them. He would do what was necessary to work. Well, my mother was there one time and she told him, she said, and God had really started blessing him. He'd rented some land, now he was starting to buy some land. She said, God is really blessing you. You ought to thank God for your blessings. And he said, God had nothing to do with it. I did this. See, that's the difference between poor in spirit and those that are not. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, that kind of attitude will never get him saved. But you ought to thank God that you are poor in spirit, that you brought forth, amen, the fruits worthy of repentance. Amen. Then God wants us to walk in newness of life. Amen. All the other beatitudes, they revolve around the first one. You have to be poor in spirit. Then you come to Christ. Amen. And then all of these, all of the rest of the Sermon on the Mount revolves around the Beatitudes. Because we have to have these characteristics in our life in order to live the life that God would want us to live. Amen. But somehow we've got to get closer. To get closer to God is, how do you get close to God? We have to do like David said, I hid the word in my heart. Amen. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, it said you can't, to be angry with your brother is to commit murder. So to hear those things, it kind of makes you go, what can I do? Amen. But you know, the thing of it is, strive for those things. These are our mark of our high calling in Christ Jesus. Now, you can go through there, and some of those things, you say, yeah, I can do that, I can handle that. Amen. But always challenge yourself. Now, we do a lot of things we don't even think about. I'm talking about myself here. When you get into traffic, don't have to say more, do I? Amen. Don't be angry with your brother without a cause. Because usually that one that's way up there, he's got 20 people behind him and nobody in front of him. Guess what he's doing? 40 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. And nobody can pass him. So you just keep building up, keep going, and your frustration just gets, it just sometimes it bothers you. Amen. But challenge yourself. I have on that. I've challenged myself. I said, you know what? I'm just going to take it easy. Now, Brother Day there took me to the airport one day. And I was amazed at his, nothing bothered him. He stayed behind. He didn't bother him to stay in this one lane. It didn't bother him, all these other cars passing him, and he's keeping up with the traffic. Those that wanted to speed and break the law, he let them go ahead and do it. But that's what we need to do. We need to have the right spirit. Amen. And this is how you begin to get into the Sermon on the Mount. It's God's perfect law. This law was given from the mouth of a perfect man. Amen. He can't say anything that ain't unperfect. Everything he says. And the Bible, you'll take the Bible and all the things that the Bible speaks about, you can take it right back to the Sermon on the Mount, because that was the law. And everything that the law that God gave Moses, the Ten Commandments, everything that was taught from there on, you could take it back to the law. And so, I'm not here to tell you that you have to do all of these things in order to be saved. I ain't saying that. I'm saying these are the things, these are our mark, our heart, our high calling in Christ Jesus. And there's some of these things that it's painful for the flesh. The flesh wants to be able to come in, and they want you to just leave me alone. I'm fine. Everything's cool, you know, and we want to stay the way we are. Amen. I couldn't come into church the way I was. I don't think you would have received me. I know you wouldn't. But you know, by God, through his grace and his mercy, amen, I've made it thus far. And one thing, I mean, man has disappointed me, and I'm sure I've disappointed man. But you know, I never disappointed in God. Amen, because he can be disappointed in me, but I can't be disappointed in him. Because he's God, he makes all the rules. So we have to go according to him. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Find that in 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. If you're never sorry for anything, you're not going to repent over anything. So blessed are they that mourn. You ever do anything that just prick your heart? That's God talking to you. And blessed is he that mourns, he that does that, and can come under to subjection to God's will. Amen. This is what I believe, that's the will of God in our lives. Now, we live in a time today that everything goes. You can come to God any old way, and that's true. And I'm glad that you can, because I was in a mess when I came to God. Amen. But he set me on a new path. Amen. He wanted me to be the salt of the earth. He wanted, and we have that in our scriptures here, and it's in the Beatitudes. He wants us to be the salt of the earth. Amen. And he said the salt without its savior is useless. You have to be salty. It says 5 and 13, it says this, that ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man. Amen. 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You know, I felt a lot of times in my Christian walk that I wasn't casting much light. Matter of fact, I felt like I would be in a stumbling block sometime. But God brought me past. He brought me past that. Amen. And we are, we think it makes no difference. You kind of get aggravated with the people of the world, amen, because they don't understand. You know what they understand? Like one at work told me, he said, I'm better than a lot of Christians I know. That's not the right spirit. That's not poor in spirit. He don't recognize where he's at in God. He don't recognize his total helplessness in God. Amen. And we have these Beatitudes there to teach us these things, to show us the characteristics that we should have in order to walk with God. Amen. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth someday. But the meek is a very important part of your of what you need to walk with God. Now you take David. David was a mighty, mighty man of God. He was a mighty warrior. But you know, when it comes to the things of God, he was weak, meek. Not weak, but meek. And lowly of heart. Amen. He would come to God in the right way. That's the reason that he was the apple of his eye. Because one thing David did, when he sinned, now one time he didn't admit it till he got caught, but he admitted it. He went to God in sackcloth and ashes, and he just prayed and he prayed and he prayed. God forgave him, but something stayed in his house, and the sword would never leave his house. Amen. He paid for his sins. Sometimes we pay for our sins here. Now, it's good to try to get the sinner and make him understand, hey, you know, you can't do anything to be saved. There's nothing that you have that can save you. But you do have to come to an altar of repentance. You have to be baptized in Jesus' name and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That was one of the first works of the poor in spirit. Not everybody received that. And I've asked it many times to myself. I think, well, why is it some will and others won't? Anybody got that answer? I don't know. All I know is that God said that we have to believe. We must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. Amen. We're supposed to seek him with hunger and thirst after his righteousness, and we shall be filled. Now, I'm going to use Billy here. I hope you don't mind. If he does, we've said things about each other before he got over it. But anyway, what happened? One day, I look at my kids' report cards. I don't know if you do or not. I would look at them. And he was having a real bad time with math. And his excuse was, I just can't do it. He said, I just can't get it. And you know, I worked without, I knew how bad you needed math in life. I knew how bad you needed it. And I was not going to accept that as an answer. Amen. I just wasn't going to accept it. And I didn't have much learning in speech therapy. He needed some motivation. And the only motivation I ever knew was in Marine Corps boot camp. So I gave him a little of it. And needless to say, and I don't know if that's what did it, but not only did his grades improve, he went right up to the top with all of them. He took all of the math that Plano High School had to offer. And to this day, he still uses math. And he'll say to this day, that was the best advice I ever got, even though it was a little harsh. But it was good advice. And something we can do better in Christ. We just need to be motivated. But we don't need to be pushed out the door. That's the reason we have a pastor that he's got a good disposition. He's wise in his ways. Amen. Those things we help him with. Amen. We have to be patient. That's one of the beatitudes. We have to show patience to others. Amen. We have to be concerned with others. We're supposed to love our neighbor. And I thought that was an awfully hard thing to do, especially some neighbors. But it said to love your enemies, them that despitefully use you. Have you got there yet? No, but you can keep trying. That's a good thing. That's the thing about Jesus Christ. We have the things right here that we can be a better person than we have been. Now, I can't tell you in these beatitudes that you don't have to do them. I can't tell you that. All I can tell you is strive for perfection. That's all I can tell you, because I'll show you why. Matthew 5 and 19. Who therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, we're still in the Beatitudes. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, some people say, well, I don't want to be called great. I just want to get in. But you know what? That ain't God teaching you that. That ain't the Holy Ghost teaching you that. That ain't the Holy Ghost asking you, well, you don't really have to do this. That's not the Holy Ghost telling you that. Amen. When we obey His Spirit, amen, He will raise us up. Amen. Our light will shine brighter. Amen. All of the things that we need in Him will begin to come out. Because He said that he that hungers and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. And I won't tell you that you don't have to obey Him, but I will tell you this, that I haven't got them all. I will tell you that. But I will tell you this too, that the Word of God, when it's implanted in your heart, amen, it will come forth. Amen. When that seed is planted on good ground, it's going to grow something. And that pouring Spirit is the ground that it's talking about. It has to be planted on good soil. And it has to be that. And I can't believe that. It's already gone. All right. I didn't give you all the things, but I hope I helped you to do one thing. That you'll count these things as important. You'll count the Beatitudes as important. You'll count the Sermon on the Mount as important. You won't beat somebody to death with it, but you count it important in your life. Because somebody might not be up to where you're at yet. And I believe that's how you can grow. And I believe that's how a church can grow. Amen. Today, I believe a pastor has to have more wisdom than God didn't call me to be a pastor, thank God. But I will help one all I can. I'll do all I can to make his job easier and to grow a church that God would be pleased with. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for listening. God bless you. I think now that we all find a place to pray or whatever, you've got to take a little break. Amen. God bless you.